All right, this morning we're going to look at a prophet's corner uncut first. We're going to be looking at the keys of the kingdom. So with that, let's turn to Matthew 16. The Spirit wants to talk to us this morning about binding and loosing. We're going to start with 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, or answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." All right, first, bind the works, the enemy's works, so they will cease. They have to cease. They have to go, right? Second, loose God's words. They must start a process forward. All right, Matthew 18:18, just a couple of pages over. "Verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." All right. Bind there in the Strong's, literally or figuratively, put in bonds. All right, put in bonds. Loose there in the Strong says to literally or figuratively to break up, destroy, dissolve, melt, or put off. So we're binding the powers of darkness, that kingdom at work, and we're loosing the kingdom of God, right? Light into the situation. Now we can identify pretty easily, literally, this. All right. Looking at it from a natural standpoint, when we bind and loose, we are doing this in the spirit realm. We need to believe this and not use this process lightly. See, like we can get a picture of that and see it naturally. Well, this is what's really going on in the spirit world. We are literally binding demonic influences and things in people's lives or situations or whatever. And we are loosing something else into their lives. See, you cast something out, you got to put something in. You understand? If not, what happens? The enemy comes back. You understand that? It's got to be filled with something. They're going to have to be loose to do what they have not been used to be doing. They've been used to yielding to the devil, but they're going to have to be, or they've been bound and they serve the devil. Now they have to be loose to walk, even if it's sickness or disease or whatever. That's what the Lord said to me, loose them to be able to receive what they need to walk in the light. You know, the man at the pool, well, let's just look at that. Isn't that 5, John 5? Okay. Verse 1, "And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up into Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. This sounds like going to the doctor to me. Natural. All people are always looking for a natural to get out of their situations, but what do they need? They need a spiritual intervention. He's waiting. He's laying there by that pool, waiting for that to be able to get into the water first, for that angel to touch him. But what Jesus would do for him would be something that would be everlasting if he could grasp it. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. All right, back up here, right here, verse 14. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a wrong thing come unto thee. So he needed to be loosed from that mindset, that what got him there in the first place. Do y'all see that? The thing about doctors and things, they are a temporary fix. They do nothing to take care of what the inside, where the problem is, or the mental. See, it's a spiritual stronghold. It's a demonic entity that's taken up residence in their mind. Just like the woman that I talked about, Brother Hagin, it started as a spot in her mind. And then as time progressed, she ended up leaving the Lord and leaving the ministry and going just completely the opposite. And when she denied God, that spirit took her over. And the Holy Spirit vacated. So this man had this kind of condition in his mind. To be in that state for 38 years, that's a long time. And I can see where maybe what he did, because he ratted Jesus out. Think, what kind of person does that? Someone's got a demon problem. Jesus told him to go sin no more. All right. That's just the cartoon. That was a side bonus. That wasn't even in my notes. All right. Now we can identify with that. This man. There's a lot of people in this condition. They can seek the doctors, like the little woman with issue of blood, been to all the doctors. Was no better, but grew worse. But then she heard about Jesus, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. All right. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. The Holy Spirit said that this is a two-edged sword. When you bind something, you loose something. It goes together. You're literally tying the hands of the enemy and loosing God's hands to work in the situation. You know what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us the last few weeks. We cast out devils by the finger of God. This isn't just us casting out devils out of people. We do not have that ability in ourselves. Jesus gave us that power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. But he even had to cast out devils by the finger of God. He didn't work independently. He didn't just go around, well, I bind you, I loose you. What's the Lord trying to do? He's trying to get us to be more effective where we hear. And then when we speak, we really affect something. Instead of this rote that we as Word of Faith people get into. Well, if I just say it enough, it'll happen. No, it won't. No. It won't. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with speaking. what you believe over yourself. When it comes to ministering to other people and things and changing situations, we have to hear from God. These strongholds have to be taken out. And we have no ability in ourselves except God in us. God has to show us what to do. He has to give us the plan. We have to carry out that plan. Do you think he moved independently? No, he didn't. Out of all these thousands of people at this pool, he went to one man. Well, that wasn't very fair. What kind of God is that? Left all the others to be sick. Well, Peter and John, they're the ones that told the lame man at the gate to rise up and walk. Why didn't Jesus dealt with him? He probably went by him 1,000 times. Father didn't say to. He wasn't led to at that time. He dealt with the bad man of Gadara, didn't he? Jesus didn't move independently, therefore we cannot move independently. We would be better to just say nothing and do nothing until, or pray until God says something, then we act on what he says. And I'm not talking your personal life here, which I still think it would work for that too, but like when we need to go help people. You know, when you do that, then you don't come away looking like a fool. Well, I knew you didn't have anything. Nobody else has anything either. That's why I don't go to church anymore. There's no power nowhere. Yeah, they prayed for my mother and she died. Jesus didn't have anything like that in his ministry, did he? It's plain church is over. We're at the end game. The devil's being routed out like never before. His time here is over. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have to help people out. Help people get free. Get on the right track. All right, here's an example. Say someone is blind. You should bind the spirit that is enforcing that condition and you should lose perfect eyesight, overturning Satan's works with God's works. All right, Matthew 12. You know, when you're young in your walk, your faith walk, it's like Polly wants a cracker. You know, we're just mimicking what our faith teachers taught us to do. That's how we learned. But there comes a time where we get past that. Somebody's mimicking, and we have to hear by the Spirit of God. We control our words. They're our most powerful thing that we have, the power to create. God made us to create. All right. 12:29. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. What is this all about? It's about furthering the kingdom. Turn to Mark 3:27. That may be the same scripture, but I don't know. 3:27. Oh, okay. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. I mean, what are you going to do when you come across somebody that's in a bad state? Well, I bind you, Satan, and command you come out. Well, if it's inspired by God, yes. If it's not, you can't do anything. You can't. And you're not always to. Sometimes, it's like I said, why didn't Jesus minister to the multitude? God sent him to one man. That's it. I don't think it's quantity. I believe it's quality, right? That's what we're after. If all I ever do is pray for one person to be delivered and they're delivered, I think that's success. Whenever I prayed for hundreds of others and nothing ever happened, they're not changed. See, that's the big difference. When the kingdom of God has come nigh you, you know it. Anybody can go to church and go through their little routine that they do to ease their guilt and go about their business, do their duty, do their Sunday school class or whatever. But do we really hear by the Spirit of God and do what the Spirit says do? Are we really doing that? Whatever He saith unto you, do it. That's what I keep hearing. Whatever He says unto you, do it. And when you do that, you've got His backing because it's Him doing it. Just like Jesus said, it's the Father in me doing the work. I don't move out independent, He said. Even my family tried to pull me away, but I can't do what I can't do. And they just have to understand. Whatever the situation may be. He risked them being mad at Him and never speaking to Him again. Well, He didn't put in there, well, if you've forsaken houses and lands and children and on it goes, God will give it back to you. It says in this life with persecutions. Okay. John 11:44. And when he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Why are we here? The loose people, let them go. As God leads us, as God shows us, as God brings them across your path, and you know it. When you're dealing with somebody, you know that this is a divine appointment. There are not just Christian catchphrases, you know. This is kingdom God operation. Well, bless God, I bind you, I loose you. You know how we do. It's hard to get out of those kind of habits, especially when you're listening to somebody spout off a bunch of crud and then you want to go, oh, no, no, no. I've heard it so much, I just say, you know what? I'm prepared for plenty over here. You can go that route if you want. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not telling you not to say anything. I'm just telling you, when we get to the place that God has us in a place to minister to someone, we better have the goods and we better be listening and hearing from the Spirit what we need to do. That's what Jesus did. That's why He didn't eat and sleep like the rest of them. He'd go up in the mountain and pray. And the Lord had given Him an assignment. If it's the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. All right. Keys. This is how you recover yourself out of the hands of the enemy and into God's provision. When you're having a problem, you can say by the Spirit of God, I bind the operation of Satan in my body, my situation, etc. And I loose my body, my situation, etc. to receive the kingdom solution in Jesus' name. I bind whatever adverse effect that I'm having in my body That's the work of the enemy. And I lose my body to be able to walk forth as the kingdom of God in those rights that he says that I have. Body, you get in line with that. All right. John 1, 3, 8. This is the purpose Jesus came. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus brought the gospel of the kingdom, plain and simple. He taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven," right? All right? This is what it's all about. He went about loosing people. He bound the devil and loosed them to walk in the kingdom of God and its provisions, right? Isn't that what it's about? Isn't that what we sang about? We declare that the kingdom of God is here. All right. To snatch people out of the fire and set them on the right path. This was the mission of Jesus. After he came out of the wilderness, he stepped up in the temple and said what? I'm going to read it because I don't remember every word of it. This is Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So he was establishing his kingdom come, his will be done in earth as in heaven. That's what Jesus did. And then that's what he told us to do. All right. I want to read some more. Go back to John 11. This has to do with Lazarus. We're not reading the whole thing, just a few scriptures. The next set of scriptures is 11:23. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? See, she's talking about, the religious stuff. But he's saying, "No, I'm the resurrection and the life." He asked, "Do you believe this?" All right, 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "I said not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." All right, what did I wrote down 38 to 44. Okay. "And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." So in his action, he was binding and loosing here. Well, you know the dead can't come back to life, right? It can when you got resurrection power working. Jesus said he was the resurrection. That's who lives in us. All right, isn't that what his death and burial and resurrection was all about? Lazarus was bound by death, but Jesus set him free. That tells me that whatever caused him to die was fixed so that he could now live. This principle, key of the kingdom, is all about resurrection power. See, that's what happens when you're in a condition and all of a sudden you're set free. Resurrection power. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he'll quicken your mortal body by a spirit that dwells in you. This principle, key of the kingdom, is all about resurrection power. The Father, after his Son died on the cross, called him forth from the grave with this same resurrection power. He was dead. This is what the raising of Lazarus was all about. He was showing everybody what he was fixing to do for them. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. He let them know, I ain't staying. It may appear one way, but it ain't going to remain that way. All right. You know, we don't have to stay that way either. That's what's so great about it. The same spirit that did it for Jesus, the same spirit does this, will do it for us. Whatever it is. Believest thou this? Or do you believe the symptoms over that? I guess you make a choice, huh? Because that was the thing. I believe Jesus spoke to people to do certain things, and I think some of them got it and some of them didn't. And God was behind it. But if you can't get their agreement, just like he told the man, stop sinning. If you keep thinking the way you're thinking, you're going to lose it, and you're not going to have it anymore. Let me think about sin a minute. Do you know what the meaning of sin is? I'm just asking you, do you know? What?
It says in 1 John what sin is.
What is it?
Breaking of the law.
Okay, God's law. So a sin is breaking of the law. When we think and we have mindsets and thinking processes that break the law, that's sin. Right. So what Jesus told the man, he said, you better believe and keep walking that way if you want to maintain what you have. Because if you lapse back into your old ways and old thinking patterns, which are an infraction against God, sin. To him that knoweth to do right and doesn't do it, it's sin, right? When you know to walk in this way and you revert back to the vomit, so to speak, that's sin. So that's what he was saying. All right, 2 Timothy. Paul made this statement here. He said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Jesus couldn't be held in the grave. This is how much more powerful God is than Satan. Really, I don't think Satan really has any power. He just steals your power and uses it against you. He's just a mimicker. The spoken word over death calls resurrection life to come. When Jesus was in hell, he stripped the devil, ripped the keys right off of him. He did. We're going to read Revelation 1:18. I've got a few scriptures on this. So Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The devil no longer has them. God said he stripped them right off of him. Now I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures that Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Were we just talking about sin? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So death really has no hold on those who do not sin, are no longer walking in sin. When you've been born again, you're walking in newness of life. You're no longer walking in sin. And then if you do miss it, then you say, I'm sorry, I thought wrong, I shouldn't have done that. You just put it under the blood and you just keep walking. All right, Revelation 22. As far as I'm concerned, the devil's already in the pit concerning my life. How about you? This is Revelation 22. This is the angel with the chain. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. They should deceive the nations no more. The 1,000 years will be fulfilled. Then he'll be loosed to do his shenanigans all over again. But it's going to be stopped very quickly when fire comes down from heaven. Stops it. Thank God. This principle is not to be used off the cuff, but deliberately. Just like you're out there shooting your gun, you're right on the target. You're very deliberate in your aiming and your firing. This is the way this principle should be used, not flippantly. It's like I said, it's not just a Christian catchphrase. This is kingdom operation. These are keys to kingdom operation. Just like in the military, the leaders in the military do not do anything lightly. They've got their big thing laid out, or whatever, computers now probably, their battlefield, their strategies, and all this stuff laid out. And they're very deliberate in what move they make the next one to assure victory. And that's the way we have to be too. What we do by the finger of God, not by the finger of the flesh. All right, a few more scriptures here. Finger of God, Matthew 17. He's just trying to work all the religion out of us, you understand? To where we're just kingdom. We're kingdom people. We're not religious people. I don't consider Christianity a religion. And I don't like to hear it said that. It is a lifestyle. It is a way of life. We serve a risen Savior. All the others, theirs are all dead. Well, really, they're all demons. Anyway, Matthew 17, 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I read that to you last week. What is the prayer and fasting? Coming aside and looking inside. That is prayer and fasting. Coming away from what you normally do to hear from God about a situation before you just go blab it and try to grab it. Mark 9 is another account of that very same thing. Jesus bound and loosed in this situation. Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Well, that's what he's saying to you. Do you believe this? Say, yes, Lord, I believe it. Just give me the word. When the word's given, then I'll do it. Until then, help me to not do anything. See, it's real. Your flesh just wants to, that religious flesh wants to rise up and just do something. But you don't see any results. I'm telling you, I'm ready for power to manifest. But you know what that's going to take? Fasting and prayer. Not